This morning, I've entitled the sermon, Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth. When people talk to me, I like to be told the truth. I don't like it when you're told fibs or half-truths and so on. Truth is so essential. And there is such a thing as absolute truth. Sometimes you will read something in the newspaper, or you'll be told something, you'll hear something on the television, and you think, no, that can't be so, that cannot be true. Even this week, I read in a newspaper this piece, and because it's in the Times and not in one of the other rubbishy newspapers which some of you read, I believe it, but... Just when you thought you had seen every daft time-saving food idea in existence, along comes a new one. In time for summer picnics, the ready hard-boiled egg will soon be available in Asda and Waitrose. Each hard-boiled egg will cost 45p, and it is, says Rob Newell of the Happy Egg Company, the perfect solution for people who love free-range eggs but don't have the time or knack to prepare a boiled egg. The time or knack, it makes you weep. And the writer says, I'm all for labour saving, but anyone too busy or too stupid to boil an egg has serious problems. And then I don't know whether to believe this. Actually, I'm not believing it. But again, in this quality newspaper, the Virgin Mary is back, but this time in the lowly form of a tree stump in Limerick. So Brian, look out for it when you're... Oh, no, don't. It's a load of nonsense. After all, only in May of this year, a Welsh family claimed to have seen the face of Jesus in the lid of a jar of Marmite. They ate the Marmite, but kept the lid. Can you believe it? I want to know the truth. Finally, I picked this up from a newspaper aimed at children. If you're chased by a dog when walking, jogging, or bicycling, stop, turn toward the dog, point, and firmly say no or go home. Repeat as necessary. This is effective even for dogs that do not speak English. Thank God, you know, there is common, there is truth. And what does the opening verses of Genesis chapter 1 say? What are the opening verses of Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That's absolute. That is truth. You notice there's no attempt to try and prove that there is a God. In the Bible, there's no attempt to try and prove that there is a God. There doesn't even seem a hint that there was a beginning to God. Or who made him. Not one word in the Bible seeks to explain God. God is assumed. Many verses in the Bible do tell us that God is eternal. He is outside of time. In fact, he created time. God is infinite. By definition, an infinite has always existed. Always been there. God is the self-existing one, the great I am of the Bible. God is not the great I was, he is the great I am. He is our creator. He is our creator. I believe one of the great needs for today is this profound conviction that God is. That God is. That there is a God. What do you think about God? A.W. Tozer wrote, "What we believe about God is the most important thing that we do. What you and I believe about God is the most important thing about us. It's the most important thing about us, what we believe about God." Of course, millions, to their own destruction, think that they are some accident, that they have evolved out of slime in some primeval age. If God hasn't created us, if there's no God and He is not our creator, then it goes that there is no uniqueness about humans. We're not necessarily any more responsible or more important than Felix, my cat. We're the same. Man becomes his own God. Now, isn't that happening? Because there is no God, is there? Man becomes, he's in charge of his own destiny. We're adrift in a purposeless universe. This life is all there is. And with no afterlife to look forward to. A dead God, a God that doesn't exist, is a creation of man. A dead God is a creation of man. A living God is the creator of man. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I was hoping for a chart to go up. My technician has disappeared. I don't know if it should be there. The next slide. But we won't get agitated if it doesn't come up. It may not be on because the screen has been taken down. The screen was up, so it may have disappeared from... It is still working, is it? Okay. Okay. Well, we'll look at the chart in a moment. If it comes up, and I'm sure it will. You see, I believe it matters hugely what we do believe. I believe it matters hugely what... Okay, I don't know if we can see that. You see, it's got about atheist and... or if you like, humanist. What an atheist, the Christian. That's just hopefully help some of you to understand the chasm of difference in what we believe and where we're going. You know, if you believe in evolution, that your dad was an ape, you believe it. But what's the point of your life? You'll just return to dust and that's it. What's your purpose in life? But if you believe in absolute truth, if you know there is a God, if you have faith and trust that God has personally created, that you are made in the image of God, that alters everything. It has to. And that a Christian is one who loves the Lord and wants to follow him in obedience. They know. I mean, the word came this morning, if you've broken his holy law, you've broken everything. And each one of us have. Each one of us have. The one who says they have not broken God's law is a liar. So you've already broken it. You're deceived. So you're in deception. So we need God's forgiveness, which is found in Jesus Christ. But once we have been forgiven and set our face to follow Jesus, to love him, and to daily receive his forgiveness, his love, his pardon, the best is to come. Whereas for the humanist, the atheist, the agnostic, any other faith other than Christianity, which believes in absolute truth, there's hell that awaits instead of joy in heaven. Thank you. My thank you, Andrew. It will be coming on again in a moment, possibly. Thank you. So, what we believe really, really does matter. Increasingly today, we are told that we shouldn't force our ideas on other people. Indeed, I look at the curriculum at one of the schools I go into, and I see that increasingly relativism is being adopted. What do we mean? Well, we're to discover our own values. We're to discover for ourselves what is truth for us as individuals. Our values should not be imposed upon us by our parents, and most of all not from the Bible, from the Word of God. The assumption is, there is no absolute truth. There's no absolute values. That is the assumptions, and that is what our children are being indoctrinated with. If it works for you, it is true. If it works for you, it's true. And it may be different for me, but if it works, that's fine. Now, logically, let's think about this. If all truth is relative, then one person's truth is as good as another person's truth. Isn't it? That's a logical thing. But the claim that there is God, there is no God, cannot both be true. One has to be true. There's no third way. There's no alternative. There is a God or there's no God. If one is absolutely true, then the other must be absolutely false and wrong. There is no third alternative. Now, Bible-believing Christians, people who have realized that they've come short of the glory of God, that they are sinners, that they deserve God's wrath, and then realize that God actually did something about it in eternity past. He arranged for his Son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world so that whoever recognizes that they are sinners turn to him, the holy, harmless one, the one who took the sin and the punishment on the cross. They believe, have faith in him, they're forgiven. So Bible-believing Christians who are seeking to follow the Lord, to love him with their heart, their soul, their mind, and to love others so that they too may be one for to this Jesus, they believe in absolute truth. Absolute truth is for all people at all times and in all places. Absolute truth was right in the year 1 AD, is right in the 21st century AD. It was right for those living in Jerusalem in the first century and for those who are living in Sussex in the 21st century or in India, Pakistan or Timbuktu. Its absolute truth is right for everyone. If certain things are absolutely true, then certain things are absolutely false. Two contrary claims cannot be true at the same time. Such claims are mutually exclusive. Think of it. I'm in the Crawley bus station. I need to get back to Furness Green. I see the number 2 bus. All it says is number 2. It doesn't actually tell me where it's going. There are two people standing at the bus stop there. So I say to them, please tell me, where is this bus going to? One says, oh, it's going to Ifield. It's definitely going to Ifield. And the other lady says, no, it's going to K2. It's definitely going to K2. I know it's going. No, it's going to Ifield. One of them has to be wrong, because a bus can't go in two directions at once. Whether Christian or not, we expect our interaction, our discussions with other people to be characterized by truth, don't we? Not relativism. Not relativism. When I see my doctor, however much I may not want to hear what she has to say, I expect her to be honest with me. I expect her to tell me what is wrong and then hopefully prescribe the right treatment for what's wrong. I expect that. Earlier this year, we boarded an aircraft in Dubai. Our ticket said Chennai. The departure board said Chennai. We expected to fly to Chennai. I didn't expect the pilot to suddenly think, we've got some missionaries on board. Let's take them to North Korea. We went to Chennai. We expected it. If we turn on the news at 10 o'clock, we expect to hear the truth. We don't like it when we've got spin. We want the truth, don't we? So why do people take a relativist approach when it comes to faith, when it comes to religious beliefs? Why? Why? Surely they're not being consistent. Concerning faith, I would suggest that many people have selective relativism. Christianity rests on absolute truth. It rests on absolute. Now, can we have a look at some scriptures? If they come up, Andrew, we'll read them out together. Because faith comes by hearing. Let's read them out as they come up. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot perceive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Finally, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Absolute truth. Christians believe that absolute morals are grounded in the absolute moral God of the Bible. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, he says to disciples, he says, be perfect, therefore, as holy as the Father in heaven is perfect. So moral law flows from the moral lawgiver of the universe. God stands against, he is opposed to the moral relativists whose behavior is based on what the scripture says, whatever is right in your own eyes. That was the problem with the Israelites in the Old Testament. You read it in Deuteronomy. You read about it in Judges, where there was no king. They did what was right in their own eyes. They were selfish. They just carried on regardless of God. There's a proverb in the Bible which says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart, what is upon the heart. Now, of course, I recognize that we who believe in absolute truth, that's risky business today. That is risky business. After all, we're living in an age of tolerance, aren't we? We risk being accused of intolerance. We risk being accused of being negative about someone else's belief. But that's not new. I notice in the epistle to Galatians, the Apostle Paul had the same problem. He says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Speaking the truth can get us into trouble. More often than not, though, friends, those making accusations of intolerance are the true intolerant ones among us. We see this in the recent days, don't we? About some of the bills and things which are going through Parliament, etc. You know, we've got to be tolerant of everyone's belief and everyone's lifestyle. However much is in contradiction to the Word of God, we've got to be tolerant. That's okay for them. But hey, we can't stand up and say these things. That is intolerance, isn't it? They claim to be tolerant of all people, but they are unbendingly intolerant of Christians who believe in a God and who love Jesus, who believe in absolute truth. Absolute truth. There is a God who is outside of time. You have not evolved from slime or anything else. A creator formed you who knew you even before you were conceived. Wow! You are made in the image of God. He has breathed his spirit into you. There is absolute truth. The Bible is absolutely right when it says, surely I have been a sinner from birth. The Bible is right when it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has done his own thing. He has turned his own way. The Bible is right when it says our Creator is also our judge. The Bible is absolutely right when it says there is a heaven, but there is also a hell. Only the Bible explains why there is beauty and ugliness, why there is life and death, why there is health and disease, why there is love and hate. Only the Bible gives the true and reliable account of the origins of all life. Absolute truth. It can only be received by faith. There's a verse in the New Testament in Hebrews which says, now without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Absolute truth, yes. We have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. We're condemned. That we have gone astray. We've done our own selfish thing. But it's absolutely true that the Lord has laid on him, God's only begotten Son, the iniquity of us all. That is true. Hallelujah. And yes, it's absolutely true that God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. I believe that He has created you with a view to come into a personal relationship with Him. In the beginning, God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. Man and female, He created them. Absolute truth. We are all by nature in sin's bondage. But Jesus Christ came to set us free. Glory to God. There's a beautiful verse in the Bible, in the New Testament. It says, "But God proves His own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. And the verses in that particular passage goes on to talk about reconciliation. God wants a relationship. Are you in relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Have you got the forgiveness of sin? The peace within? Absolute truth. Let me close with a psalm which is a favourite to many. I know it's a favourite of dear Sister Vera. I'm just reading three verses from Psalm 103. This is true of those who believed in absolute truth and have come to faith in Jesus. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." We are not good enough to make our way to heaven. We're not good enough to earn God's forgiveness. We're far from good enough. We're bad inside. But we can receive God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus, who bore our sin and punishment upon Himself that first Good Friday. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift of God through His grace. Hallelujah. And it becomes ours by placing our faith in Jesus. That is absolute truth. If God, through His Holy Spirit, is speaking to our hearts, your heart, right now, then now is your door of opportunity to believe, to be transformed inside. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Draw near while He is near. Call on Him while He is near. It is a very, very dangerous thing to put it off till tomorrow. Let's spend a moment or two bowed in prayer. Those of you who know these truths, I hope even this morning has helped to clarify, and that you will be able to share it with others. You may do many good things, but if you haven't a personal relationship with God through Jesus, your good deeds will even count against you in the day of judgment. Bend your heart now before Christ. Don't let this opportunity pass. If the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, there may still be much you don't understand. That's okay. Just that Jesus talks about becoming like children, having childlike faith, is enough to know that you are a sinner, you need salvation, and God's mercy is being outstretched to you today. Be born again of the Holy Spirit. During the singing of this closing song, if it helps to come forward, because we have to humble ourselves. If we're full of pride, then God can't see us, because there has to be humility before our sovereign Lord. So let's humble yourself before God. Jesus is now going to be exalted in your life and in mine. If it helps, do come forward.